Unable to go to the Pittsburgh Penguins New York Rangers hockey game yesterday because they were playing in Pittsburgh, and I was kind of looking forward to a vicarious experience of having him there, being a hockey fan. But it's interesting that this morning's New Testament reading is from Revelation 21, and specifically verse 5. And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Well, we can be thankful in a very selfish sort of way that one of the new things that God is doing does not involve Bill and Kim Driscoll moving to Pittsburgh. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Let's pray as we open up Revelation 21 together this morning. Father, thank you for the gift of your scripture. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. I ask you to open our hearts and minds to what you're saying to us and what you're doing in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to look at Revelation 21, verse 5 with you this morning. He who was sitting on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." We've been looking at the book of Revelation during the discipleship hour on Sunday mornings and through some sermons here at both services. But let's begin with this verse 5. "And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I'm making all things new.'" Who do you suppose is speaking? Who's being quoted? Jesus is. God himself in Christ is speaking. Saying he, and the description is, he who is seated on the throne. Seated on the throne is a picture of permanent rule and reign, of kingship. Did you know that the word throne appears 36 times in the book of Revelation to remind us that in the midst of all the turmoil and suffering that the church in John's day that was suffering, that God is saying, "I'm on my throne." In the midst of troubles, God is saying, "I'm on my throne." In the midst of loss and grief, he is still seated on his throne. In the midst of suffering and hardship, God is seated on his throne. And now we see this morning, he says, the one on his throne says, "Behold, I am making all things new." It's interesting, since the beginning of the book of Revelation, the first section, this is the first time we've heard God himself speak, not through an angel, not through a vision, but God himself now is summarizing and making a declaration himself. "Behold, I am making all things new." Now remember that Revelation's main theme is that today, currently in our lives, as in the lives of the church in John's day, we are suffering conflict and suffering and hardship. We're experiencing those things today. But the good news is today we can also experience glimpse and the first fruits of the arrival of his kingdom today. We're not yet home. We're not yet seeing him face to face. But now today in the midst of our life, God is present. God is among us. And so here God on his throne says, "Behold, I am making all things new." That word "I am" is interesting. It reminds us of when God appeared to Moses. And he says, Who shall I say sends me? I am. When Jesus is walking on the water in the midst of a storm and he's walking to his disciples in a boat and they're afraid they're going to sink in the midst of this incredible storm. They're afraid they're on their own, that they've made decisions now. It's up to them. Jesus comes walking on the water to rescue them. And the very first words he says is, "Fear not, I am. It is I." The very person we should fear says, "Do not be afraid. I am. I am making all things new." Behold. Behold, that's an important word. It's a word, the word "behold" appears a lot, actually appears 25 times in the book of Revelation. And we can sort of treat it as parsley on the side of the plate. Like it's just like a, hey. Actually, that word is a very important word in God's revelation. God is saying, "Look at this. Notice. Stop what you're saying. Stop what you're doing. Behold. Look carefully." It's the same word that John the Baptizer used when he was with his disciples and Jesus was walking by in John chapter 1, verse 29. And John the Baptizer says, whoa. "Look carefully. Watch. That's the Son of God. That's the Lamb of God in our midst. Behold. Look carefully. Pay attention to what's going on." We're not asked to do anything, to work harder, to act out anything, but just to watch what God is doing is what the word "behold" means. to look at something carefully, to watch. Now, to be honest, most of us who have trusted Christ more than 10 minutes, we really don't have a clue what God's doing in our life. True, in some ways? Can you relate to that? You just got to, I mean, it's the already and not yet again. It's like we know God is here, but we don't really know what he's going to do about this situation tomorrow or next year. We really don't know what God's up to in the big scheme of things, although we catch glimpses. We're able to learn what pleases the Lord. We're able to learn his will. We're able to learn the tenor of his voice in our hearts. Even though there are times we feel like, I don't have a clue, Father, what you're up to. Can you relate to that? But it's the already and not yet again in our lives. We're not yet there face to face to hear his voice audibly, but we already have his presence, his spirit within us. That's why Paul says in Ephesians 5, walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. So we can walk in this light of his presence, of his spirit, learning how to discern what God's saying and doing. We can learn to behold, to watch, to have our eyes open, to pay attention to what's going on and what God is inviting us to do with him. And what was it that John, the apostle here in the book of Revelation, was told to look at, to gaze upon, to pay attention to? Look at Revelation 21, verse 2. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. What is it that God wants him to behold, to look at? It's the New Jerusalem, a new city, a new community. The New Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the epicenter of the worship and spiritual life of John's people. It's where the temple was. God is saying, I'm making a new city, a new community. Cities in the Bible, as in our day, are usually places of intensified problems. True? People want to leave the city to avoid problems. And that's why in the book of Revelation, Babylon is often used as a depiction of fallen human nature, that city itself was known for rampant violence and godlessness. And we have Babylons today in our cities, don't we? We have violence, injustice, division among people, corruption, just intensified in the city environment. God is saying to us, as well as to John, watch this. I'm making a new community. I'm making a new community that you've never seen before. Revelation 21:3, and I heard a loud voice, again, from the throne. God is saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them as their God. The dwelling place of God is now with us. Dwelling is a specific place. It's a tabernacle. It's a place. That word means a place to be, to live with loved ones. Not a temporary tent like to go camping or hiking. It's a place to dwell. God wants to be with you and me. He wants to dwell with us. He's looking forward to the day that we will see him face to face in a permanent dwelling. And that's why Jesus said to his disciples before his death and resurrection in John 14, he said, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you, a dwelling, an abode? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. God is making this. This new community is coming from God himself. He prepares our dwelling, our eternal dwelling that's permanent, not temporary. A place that God's preparing, constructing for you and me. This is really an already and not yet picture, that we're not yet home in heaven. There's no new heaven and new earth yet. We still have loss and grief and pain. We yearn for the day that we see God and our loved ones face to face. But today, already, we can know God's presence. We can be welcomed into a new community today where God abides, where Christ abides. We can know the first fruits of that today. He calls us now to be part of his new community. He welcomes us into that presently. That's why Jesus said in John 14:23, talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit being poured out upon his people, that when the Holy Spirit comes, he says, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. And talking about the Father and the Son, he says, we will come to you, to him, and make a home with him. Jesus is desiring to move in now into the tabernacle of your heart. He's desiring to be among us as his people now. The dwelling of God happens in Christ today through the presence of his Holy Spirit. Fulfills what Isaiah foresaw in Isaiah 65. For behold, God is saying, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy and her people to be a gladness. The good news of the kingdom of God today is that God is creating among us and in us a new community that will be known for the joy and the gladness in Christ that we share, for the love and the peace that we have to offer a broken and hurting world. That's why Jesus said in John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, and also are to love one another. Today, we can be part of God's new community happening among us now. He gives us his love. He gives us his presence. God is doing this. It's a new community created by God. To build the church is not the work of our hands. It's God's work through us. For behold, he said, watch, I am creating something new, a new Jerusalem. Just as John the Baptizer pointed to Jesus and said, behold the Lamb of God, so the world around us can look to us and at us and say, behold how they love one another, how they love the broken, how they welcome the lost, how they work for justice and peace, how they feed the hungry. Consider their love. Why do you love like this? A new community living in a new way together. That's the good news of the gospel, is that just as John saw Jesus in the flesh, the world will begin to see us, Jesus and fleshed in us, in our life. And so we can look for, pay attention to, new ways of being this new community that God is creating in us. How to love one another in practical ways. How to prefer one another in personal ways. How to live in the midst of making charitable assumptions about somebody when they do something that rankles you, to live into charitable assumptions about them, serving them, honoring them. Now, this is not a pull yourself up by your bootstraps Christianity or message. This is a call to be a community that God has and is birthing in us through the presence of his Holy Spirit, to walk in that light, to drink of that new water. That's why Revelation 21, verse 6, God says this, and he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. Jesus offers to fill our hearts with that spring of water of life, to be a people that love one another, that love the world with his love. We can't drum it up. We can't create it. We can't pull it down from heaven. We simply receive it through the presence of the Holy Spirit and release it in our words, in our actions, in our attitudes, in our faith. So we can look for ways to share this water of life, to be this community. We are called to consider God's work now, to behold what he's doing, to look for his ongoing mission around us and to join him in that, to look for what God is doing, to be concerned for what God's concerned about, to search for the people God is searching for. And this is not a works thing. This is an adventure. This is an adventure and a journey that God calls us on as a community with him. Not earning his grace or his salvation, but seeing this as an adventure of bringing his community into a world that desperately needs his hope and his love. So today, if you feel distant from God, you can be part of his new community, his new family. God calls you by a new name. Whatever names you've called yourselves, whatever labels other people have put upon you, God has a new name. Remember, he said, I'm doing a new thing. So he gives us new names, a new name like beloved, or daughter, or son, or welcomed, or you belong. Those are the new names that God gives us through Christ. Look at Revelation 5:9, quoting one of the many songs happening in heaven. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." Good news of the kingdom is because of the presence of Christ among us, we are not orphans. We're not on our own. We belong to his family, all ethnic groups, all backgrounds, all nationalities. When I think of what heaven is like, I think of a place of many different colors and sounds and people. When we become Christ followers, when we enter into his kingdom, he doesn't obliterate our individuality or our background or our nationality. He fulfills it. He completes it. He saturates it with his presence. I want to wrap things up by going to the beginning, actually, of today's reading, Revelation 21:1. John says this, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and the sea was no more." Many people often scratch their heads about that last phrase, "and the sea was no more." I kind of like the ocean. I kind of like taking a lawn chair and my son, and we go out there and we surf casting. And if the Lord smiles on us or if we're any good at it, we'll bring home some whiting. Nothing wrong with the ocean or the sea. It's a great place. But I think the symbolism here is different than maybe what we can imagine. For the people in John's day, in that era, the Mediterranean Sea was often a source of danger, where storms would blow up, where even invading armies would come. It was a symbol of danger and confusion and chaos. God is saying, "I'm going to take away all that. I'm replacing pain now with peace. Chaos is going to be replaced by a new creation." See, life happens in the midst of storms today, does it not? Storms of circumstance, of relational issues, storms of emotional trauma. Whatever the storms may be, in life we will encounter storms. Jesus promised, "In this world you will have hardships and tribulations, but take heart, I've overcome the world." But we will live in the midst of storms, of uncertainty. There may be a calm in your life. I don't want to sound like an old curmudgeon, but the reality is we may have calm periods in our life, but we will then have storms in our life. Is that not true? It's just like the picture of nature. Spiritually, that's our current life. But the good news is that there will be a day when all chaos and confusion of life will be replaced by a new heaven and a new earth. The good news of the kingdom is that even today now, being part of the community of God here, we have the grace, we have the presence of his Spirit to help others through their storms of life, to help one another navigate through whatever storms of life are coming our way. But that's part of the good news of the kingdom, is that we navigate as a fleet, not as individual little dinghies. But we're in this together as a community, foreshadowing what God will do eventually in bringing a new heaven, a new Jerusalem, a new earth. So what is God doing in your life today? What is he asking you to behold and to look at and to partner him with him? How can you step into a new place with him of trust and seeing your identity in him, just as in now you're part of a community in his name? Let's pray about this. Father, we ask you now to give us eyes to see what you're doing in our hearts. Give us ears to hear your voice. Give us wisdom to know your way. Thank you that you aren't leaving us as orphans, but you're with us through the presence of your Spirit, and you are with us, Lord, in the flesh and blood of those around us. Thank you for the privilege of being part of your community, Lord Jesus, and for sharing this life with others. We look to you now in all this, in Jesus' name, amen. Why don't we stand and confess our faith in this Lord, using the words of the apostles?